Amen. If you got your Bible, let's open up to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And you pray for us. Lord, help us. You find that place. Let's stand. Acts chapter 15. And I've been looking forward to getting to the house of God and looking forward to preaching. You pray for us. Lord, help us. And I hope God's word will be a help to all of us. Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. If you've been with us, then I've just been preaching some on Wednesday nights on what the church is supposed to be, and looking not at what men say it is, or what books have been written that say the church is supposed to be, or our opinions of what it's supposed to be, but about what the Bible says that the church is supposed to be. I thank God the authority of the Word of God ought to be enough to let us know what we're supposed to be. Amen. And so the Bible says in Acts chapter number 15, I'm going to start reading in verse number 36. The Bible records these words, Acts 15 verse 36. It said, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the word. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight for letting us come to the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for the good, sweet songs of Zion. And God, I pray for a few minutes of time that you'd help us. Lord, we're not interested tonight in preaching, Lord, in the energy of our flesh. But God, I pray through unction of the Holy Ghost, I pray that to God you'd help me to say everything you'd have me to say. And to God, put a guard at my mouth that I'd not say nothing that you would. Father, we understand that in these days, as we far deviated from the pattern that you set forth, God, we'd sure enough like to get back there where you'd have us to be. And God, I pray that we might have joy at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, God, the longer we're in this thing, the more very acutely aware we are that there's going to come a day and we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And God, we want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and not ashamed of what we've done down here. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us just to do what the Bible says. And God in heaven, we do need your help. Lord, we love you. We thank you. In Christ's name, we humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. Again, we've been looking at what the church is sure to be. We looked at the church is sure to spread, and it's sure to be sanctified, it's sure to be sheltered, and it's sure to be a supplicating place. But I want you to notice right here in verse number 41, the Bible says, "And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." I got thinking about that and I thought, man, what a blessing in verse number 36. And when the Apostle Paul said unto Barnabas, and at the end of it, he said, "Let's go visit them and let's see how they do." Amen. And boy, it stirs my heart, thank God. And look here, friend, he didn't just preach to them and say, "I hope you do the best you can." But thank God there's something in Paul's heart that wanted to go back by and say, "How in the world are you doing in this thing?" Amen. I got to thinking about this. And the first time I ever went to Africa, we went to a little village called Munshi Village. And when we went over there and preached, Brother Akam preached, as probably 40 or 50 got saved, whatever it was. And about the time we turned to leave, and no sooner did we turn to walk down and go back to the boat, and some Jehovah's false witnesses came up, and they was going to do what they could to proselyte those folks and it just got saved. Now you understand, it's not enough just to get born again. We got to be interested in discipling people in the cause of Christ. Amen. And so what we find that the Apostle Paul said, he said, "Let's go on back by and let's see how they do." I got to
thinking about a few reasons why that's probably that case. Let me say this to you, friend. And the reason we got to come by and confirm the hands of the saints is because we're facing so many things. I thought, first of all, friend, and no doubt everybody in this room, you understand we're all facing a roaring lion. That's what the Bible said. It said to be sober, to be vigilant, and for your adversary, the lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, and resist you steadfast in the faith, and know that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Amen. And so we're facing roaring lions. That's on the outside. But then on the inside, we're facing ravenous wolves on the inside. In the book of Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul said, "For I know that at my departing, many grievous wolves shall come in." He said, "Even men of your own self shall arise, professing vain things, bringing disciples after their own self." So in other words, this is what he's saying. Thank God, look here, friend. Some of the things we say in church, I say it to keep the wolves out. Amen. You understand that? Thank God. Now listen, not everybody shows up at Amazing Grace is real interested in serving God. You need to understand that. Not everybody that puts on a suit, not everybody that puts on a dress, really cares about the Lord. They're just waiting for an opportunity to do what they want to do. And so what we do is we stand up here, and I try to say offensive things sometimes. Not to, because I'm trying to offend the sheep, because I'm trying to offend the wolves. Amen. Get on. Thank God, I'm going to preach out there. Amen. And I got to look here, friend. And no doubt we come to the house of God, and these folks all around, and they're forever waiting to try to get things changed. And that's why I preach the way I preach. That's the way we say we'll not read out of anything. And now listen, I'm going to go on record saying this, and I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings, but if you read out of this Bible in a church, and then you go home and read out of an NIV, you're just as messed up as anybody else is. Amen. Thank God. I don't have to have the KJV on one side and an NIV on the other. Folks would say it like this. They say that one's easier to understand. Probably is for somebody that's lost that don't know the Lord. Amen. But I'll tell you what will help you understand the Bible is to know the author of it. Amen. Now look here, friend. These folks trying to tell me, and you've heard me say it 100 times. How about these folks trying to convince me about how hard this Bible is to understand? How about the only problem is I've known men that they couldn't read. I know men had a third grade education, but somehow they figured out what this said. Amen. How you say, how'd that work? I'd say they probably went to the author of the book and got on their face before God and they found out what it said. Amen. And listen, let me say this, friend. How we're facing roaring lions on the outside. We're facing ravenous wolves on the inside. We're facing rogue foxes on the inside of our mind. And it's trying to destroy the vine. And so Paul goes by and he tries to confirm some things. I want you to notice a few things. And if the Lord will help me, I'll try to be brief. But listen, I'd like to be long if I'm being honest with you. Amen. That's all right, ain't it? I'd like to preach the longest message I ever preached tonight. If the Lord will help me, thank God. But I want to say this to you, friend. And whenever I got thinking about Paul going around, and the first thing you'll find in every letter that the Apostle Paul writes, and that he tries to strengthen first, as he tries to strengthen doctrine, amen. He tries to fix up a false doctrine, amen. I don't get nervous. Some of you got upset when I said I wanted to preach a long time, didn't you, amen? And thank God. I'm going to preach anyhow, amen. And listen to me, friend. The Apostle Paul came by, and he wanted to preach doctrine. There are churches and there's places that I've been. They say doctrine's got no place in the house of God. Let me say this to you, friend. If we don't have doctrine, we don't have nothing. Amen. I understand that. The Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy, he said, "Till I come and give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine." Amen. He said in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable." Amen. Thank God. That's the first thing he said. Profitable for doctrine. And the Bible said in 2 Timothy 4, "Preach the word. Be manifested in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Amen. Thank God. You say, what's that mean, doctrine? That's the teaching of the Word of God. There's different teachings all throughout it. And one of them's the doctrine of Scripture. I believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Don't you think that's right? I don't believe there's an error in this. I'm not a Bible corrector. I thank God I don't need to fix nothing in this. And the last time I checked, that the Word of God was forever settled in heaven. Amen. And so thank God. Listen, according to Psalms chapter 12, verse 6, I believe that I hold in my hand the perfectly preserved Word of an Almighty God. I'm not looking to change. I don't need to speak Hebrew. I don't need to understand Greek, thank God. I've got it written right here. Amen. And listen, you say, well, that'd help me if I knew a little more than that. Hey, listen, I like what Brother Mitchell said one time. Will this one right here get me to heaven? Amen. Because if this one will get me to heaven, that's as far as I'm interested in going. Amen. Praise God, that makes me happy all over. Hey, listen, friend, I'm saying this. We got to get settled on our doctrine. And there's never been a time that doctrine's more dangerous than it is right now. And before, if you wanted to hear false doctrine, you had to go to a kingdom hall, or you had to be around somebody. But now our kids type in and watching something on YouTube, and then some new NFIB movement comes on right under it. That's somebody that knows how to market that brings in something right around it. And before very long, they say, oh no, that way that I was brought up wasn't right. I tell my boys about every time we leave and God's gotten real big to me. I say, you put this down in your heart, and anytime anybody tries to say that the old time way's not right, and you just roll back in that Rolodex in your mind and remind yourself of when the sweet Holy Ghost came passing by, and you got to see homes put back together, and you got to see saints get back on fire, and you got to see souls get born again, and you tell them they're a liar from hell. Amen. Hey, listen, thank God that doctrine matters. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm saying this. Look here, friend. Hey, some doctrines I wouldn't necessarily break fellowship with, but they some I would. And one of them, I tell you all the time, boy, this Bible right here, I mean, I love it. But I'm going to go on and say this. Thank God, the doctrine of Christ. And listen, that crowd that runs around and says he's a created being, and he's a son, but he's not God. There's one verse, and it's really only, listen, let me just read this to you. I'm going to try to quote it, and I'll mess that thing up. It's in Hebrews chapter 1, the only verse really you need. Here's what it says in verse 8. He said, but unto the Son, he saith, that's God the Father, unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God. Amen. And so listen, look at me. Hey, thank God, I feel like running on that one. It doesn't matter if you think he's God. God thinks he's God. Amen. Thank God. And if God thinks he's God, that's really enough for me. Amen. I say, thank God, thank God. Hey, listen, the doctrine of Christ. I believe he is virgin born. Don't you believe that? I mean, I believe that, thank God. I believe he lived a perfect life. Hey, thank God, I don't believe he ever done nothing wrong. I don't believe he ever said nothing wrong. Hey, thank God, look at me, friend. I don't believe that he ever turned water into your old fermented liquor drink either. Amen. Amen. Let me go on record as saying that. And for the wine bibbers that love to use that verse out of context so they can get drunk. And the Bible said wine is a mocker, a strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is unwise. Amen. Thank God, I believe that. How you say, preacher, that says he turned into wine. Yeah, I'll tell you this. Last time I checked, fermentation is a process. But what God done was instantaneous. That fermentation is death. But only thing God ever done was life. Amen. And for him to turn that into liquor, that goes against everything he's ever done and said. And God's never contradicted himself. And you better believe that, thank God. Hey, listen, amen. Hey, look at me, friend. And if you're a part of that crowd that enjoys those private drinks, and you're a part of this church, you ought to be man or woman enough to say, I'm going to resign my membership and go somewhere else. Amen. I mean that with all the love in my heart. Thank God it matters. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Smile at me on that one. Don't you think that's right? You say, preacher, that's why I don't come here. Well, amen, that's all right too. I thank God I'm not for everybody. Amazing grace ain't for everybody. But at the judgment seat of Christ, I don't want to stand before it with a whole bunch of drunk church members. Amen. I'd like to stand before it with folks that are sober-minded on their way to heaven, caring about souls. Amen. And so doctrine matters. Amen. How the doctrine of Christ matters. How the doctrine of the cross matters. How the doctrine of substitution matters. How the doctrine of atonement matters. How the doctrine of reconciliation matters. How the doctrine of redemption matters. How the doctrine of the second coming matters. I'm saying this, thank God. And Paul went by and he said, don't be carried about with every wind and slate of doctrine. Amen. I don't care. I don't look at me. I don't care what preacher. I don't care what so-called pastor. I don't care if the Pope starts drinking and they offer it to everybody in their church. Hey, listen, friend. It's against Scripture. Amen. It's against Scripture. I thank God. Hey, listen. Look here, friend. And everybody knows it. Amen. Amen. I'm saying this. How the first thing it does come around and it strengthen up doctrine. And say, you need to understand a little bit. I think if I get preaching on the atonement, everybody ought to be with me. Don't you think that's right? If I get to preaching on, thank God. I mean, all of those great divisions through the Scripture, I think in church, we ought to be unified. Now, there may be parts we don't fully understand. I understand that. Hey, look here, friend. I've told you before. I'm not a Calvinist and I'm not an Arminian. I'm neither one of those two. I like to put it right between the mustard and the mayonnaise. I keep it right in the road. Amen. I'm not interested in either ditch on either side. But these may be folks here. And they say, Brother Kevin, I don't understand what you even mean on those two terms. That's all right. Keep studying the Bible. Keep studying the Scripture. And we'll bring you along. But there's some folks that they've been in this thing long enough that they ought to know. Amen. Hey, thank God. Listen, if you've been in this thing for 20 years, and you can't lead somebody to the Lord using the Bible, there's something wrong. Amen. And let me move on before I kill the whole meeting there. And the first thing he did was he strengthened doctrine because there was false prophets around. And the second thing you'd find he'd do is he would strengthen up their discipline because people were fainting all the time. It was hard living where they lived. Had their families ostracized them. Had they had to go, thank God, amen. And they had to go out. How they didn't have nobody but the church, Brother Savage. That was all they had. And so you know what it would say about them, Brother David? It would say, and Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And old John Mark went back, and you find him going back. And so he would come by, and Scotty won't get mad at me. And he'd say, Scotty, that looks like you're fainting. Now listen, and you're going to have to stand fast, amen. And don't give up this fight. Now look here, these fellas here, how they preach in some dry places sometimes. And to look for it, it gets mighty lonely sometimes when you're trying to stand for the Lord. But I'll say this, thank God, if there's ever a time we ought to stand fast or right where we're at and not move, it ought to be right now. Thank God. Amen, friend. And the Apostle Paul told the church of Thessalonica over there when he began to talk to them, he said, hold fast and the traditions which you've been taught, whether by our word or epistle. In other words, he said, don't move from where I showed you. There's going to be folks trying to move you, but you don't move right from where you're at. You don't move from it, thank God. Look here, friend. And the last new way that was made was in Hebrews 10:19. And when the Bible said that by him was made a new and a living way. I'm not trying to find any newer way than Christ. I want to stay right where he's at. Amen. I'd say this to you, friend. Hey, so many folks, and you watch them, they come in. And I mean, guns is blazing. They're on fire for God. They're reading their Bibles. They're witnessing. But then over the course of time, that roaring lion, them ravenous wolves, it starts to suck the spirit out of them, and they start to slow down. And then you know what they start to do? Look at me now, nobody. I'm not preaching at nobody. I'm just preaching, all right? But thank God, if you put yourself in the target, you're liable to get hit, all right? I'm simply saying this. And the first thing they'll do is they'll start missing Wednesday night, and then they'll start missing Sunday school, and then it'll be church time on Sunday night. And the last thing to go will be, Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. I thank God, because sometimes All that is a dog and pony show where we dress up and take our selfies and we say, I'm going to the house of God. Yeah. Thank God, God help us, neighbor. Amen. I'm saying this, friend. And listen to me. If you're not careful, you'll start to faint and start to fall back and start to go back to the wayside and start to go back to the former things. What he said in the book of Galatians is the weak and the beggarly elements. And thank God, why in the world would we ever want to go back? Amen. So when you see somebody go back, you know what I found? Now listen, there's only so many. Now don't let nobody get nervous. There's only so many folks can take me saying, look here. And Brother Joshua, it feels like to me like you're going backwards. Right. And folks will tell me this all the time. I mean, they say it to me all the time. And rarely does anybody mean it. I tell, say, Brother Kevin, if you ever see me doing something, I want you to tell me. Amen. And you know what happens inevitably, Brother Nathaniel? It's whenever I tell them, they get mad and they don't come back. Amen. Thank God. That's right. Amen. You'd be surprised at how many folks say, I want you to tell me if my kid's ever doing something wrong. You tell me if you ever see me falling back. And then when I say, listen, what about that song you used to have, or have that shout you used to have? And they'll say, oh, preacher. And then the next thing, I don't ever see them no more. And they go out to Jamestown to the Walmart, and they'll say, well, I was going to come out there, but you know, that Brother Kevin hurt my feelings, and he's real mean, and all that other stuff. Because you love on them, amen. Because you want to see folks do right. And Colossians 3:5, the Apostle Paul says, he said, whenever he saw the church at Colossae, he said, be holding your order. In other words, they were standing arm in arm, fighting the same fight, encouraging everybody up and down the line. Amen. I say, praise God. Praise God. I told you this before. I'm telling you again tonight. And thank God, whenever there's over there, there's a fella named Alexander the Great, that great leader of the Grecian army. And it said whenever he came by, he was saluting his troops, and he saw one fella standing there, Stephen, and was shaking as he was getting ready to go to battle. And he said, what's the matter with you? And he said, I'm afraid. He said, sir, what's your name? He said, Alexander. And he said, you need to do one of two things. Either change your name or change your nature. Amen. But you can't be named after me and be afraid going into battle. I'd say there's a lot of folks that probably ought to quit telling everybody they're Christians. Amen. Either change your name or change your nature. Amen. Don't you think that's right? Amen. Amen. Thank God. That's right. Smile at me on that one. I'm about to preach my own self happy. There's about 10 folks that are with me, and about 20 look like they could kill me right now. Amen. But thank God, listen, be very careful now. Hear me today. How Paul's just going by, and he was strengthening some heads. I think there's some people we ought to stand with. I think there's some people we ought to stand against. Amen. In the book of Jude, verse number 3, he said that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto you. I thank God in 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14. Hey, some folks we won't never stand with. Amen. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, as saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, I'll receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. And so folks get mad at me. Brother Joshua talked about it on Sunday. I've had churches. They get mad and they say, why don't y'all think y'all's a cult? Hey, y'all don't ever want to do nothing with nobody. No, it's not that, thank God. But now listen, friend, we've got to have standards in this thing, and we've got to stay separate and right with God. And so there'll never be a time that we'll ever be ecumenical. There'll never be a time we'll yoke up with other denominations. I don't care how good the cause is, there'll never be a time, as long as I'm pastor, that we'll ever do that. You need not even ask it. Amen. That's not going to happen, thank God. I would rather get to the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord say, hey, Kevin, you could have done some things, and I'd have been all right with it. I'd rather that happen. It's me getting to the judgment seat of Christ, and he'd say, you should have never yoked up with him. Hey, you should have never done that with him. I'd rather him say, I could have, but didn't, rather than him say, you did, but shouldn't have. Amen. I'm not trying to be isolated, but I'm trying to be right. Amen. Amen. Don't y'all think that's right? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hey, some folks don't think that's right. And that's between them and the Lord.
But as long as I'm the pastor, amen, we're going to do it the way the Bible says, I think. Amen.
Amen.
Unless you can convince me otherwise. You all right with that? You're all right with it, ain't you, man? Amen. Matt's for it, thank God. He'd come by and he'd strengthen the hands doctrinally. He'd strengthen the hands disciplinally. Then he'd strengthen the hands devotionally. Boy, he'd come by and he'd say, now wait just a second.
Yeah.
He'd say, there was a time. There's a time y'all love the Lord more than you do right now. Uh-huh. Amen. Oh, John, he wrote that to the church at Ephesus, didn't he? And to thank God. And Paul already wrote to the church at Ephesus. And he said, you got to love folks right. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. And thank God, listen, we ought to love the brethren. And he writes that over and over again. I want you to hear me and hear me well. Hey, listen, strong Christians make for strong homes. Strong homes make for strong churches. And one thing, listen, I thank God, hear me today. If there was ever one thing we ought to get right, we ought to get our devotion right. Amen. We get to loving our favorite people, boy, we get to loving the Lord, and it shows up sometimes.
Amen.
Say, well, if it's not my favorite preacher, amen. Like, come on, help me out there. We get to sit in the house of God and you just watch it. You watch, look here. I know that every home in here, you know, every husband and wife, they come to church. When they come to church, you know, they're shouting it out and talking about what songs they're going to sing when they get here. And then they get out of here, and as soon as they get out and they get in the car, all they talk about is how lovely the service was and how good the prayer time was. Oh, yeah. And how good the Sunday school was. Look here. Friend, listen. Now, y'all know that I've been saved for a mighty long time, don't you? Amen. I know this. I know that the two best places have for husbands and wives to argue is on the way to church and going home from church. Amen. They ought to have been more folks. The only reason you didn't say amen is because it's a little too close to home. Amen. I'm saying this. You know why that is. The devil don't want you to be prepared to come in here, and he don't want you to retain what God's done while you was here. Amen. And so our responsibility is to get right with our husbands and wives. That's to get right with everybody else. Amen. Don't you look here. You can't be right with God and not get right with your neighbor you're sitting in church with. Ain't that right, Gavin? Don't you think that's right? Amen. If you owe somebody a bill, you ought to pay that thing. Don't you think that's right? Come in the house of God, try to shout her down. Hey, man, you ain't never going to have no power with God. Don't kid yourself. I'm still happy in the Lord. Are y'all happy tonight?
Yeah.
I'm saying come by. Apostle Paul, that's what he done to the churches. He went by the church of Syria and church of Cilicia. He'd say, hey, y'all. Y'all still love God? There's a time you came in, it was evident you loved him. Talked about him. I ain't heard y'all talk about him in a while.
Yeah.
Wonder how many services Paul had to sit through before he said, amen. Brother Corey said, you know what?
Yeah.
That pastor used to love the Lord more. Last time we was here, he was happy about the Lord. Now he's all sold up, mad about everything.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, I'll just preach on preachers for a while. That'll be all right. That'll help everybody, won't it? Amen. Said, boy, there's a time whenever you got up and preached. There's a time you got up and preached, man, you had a hold of God. God was on you. You could tell you studied for it. And now all of a sudden, it just seemed like you don't even enjoy preaching no more.
Yeah.
Brother Savage said one time in a message, he said, how in the world do I expect anybody else to enjoy my preaching if I don't enjoy it?
Right. Right.
Amen. I'm saying this. He'd come around there and he'd strengthen them devotionally. I'm going to give you this right here, and I want you to stay with me. Stay tuned with me. Don't shut me off. Just the last thing I want you to say is he'd come by and he'd want to make sure they're strengthened in their duty. He'd say something like this to them. Now, mark it down. Go read the letters. Don't take my word for it. Go read every letter. First part, he'd deal with them doctrinally, and he'd deal with their devotions, and he'd deal with their discipline. And then always in the last of the letter, he'd always deal with their duty. He'd always say, now wait just a second. He'd say, you know you're supposed to be walking better than you're walking.
Right.
Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called.
Right.
2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Book of Galatians chapter number 6, the Bible teaches us, let us walk in the Spirit, and we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ain't that right? He'd say, now wait just a minute. There was a time you was walking a little straighter than what you're walking right now.
Oh, yes, sir.
And he'd deal with them. And listen, he wasn't trying to be mean. Today, when you preach like that, I feel like the Apostle Paul preaching the Galatians. Am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? But friend, listen. You know how many times, you know how old it gets, Daryl, going sometimes and knocking on doors? And you're saying, man, I'd like for y'all to come over to Amazing Grace. And they're saying, does so-and-so go over there? You'll say, yeah. Say, do you know what I saw them do? And then Teresa, and then the preacher's got to get up. Got to go stand behind the pulpit. You got to try to preach. And you got one or two choices. You need to deal with it privately or publicly. And if you know me, you know how I deal with it. Privately. One-on-one. But what a shame it is for folks that have been in this church to walk out of these doors, to sit under preaching all these years, to walk out and still not be walking straight. Still, I mean, just come up here and say, God's word will stand against the raging tide of those that criticize. And then they get down there, and then all of a sudden when it comes to walking, we'll say, well, here's what the Bible says about how you ought to dress. And they say, well, that was a long time ago. We're in 2024 now. Salvation's still the same. Christ's still the same. Church's still the same. Standard's still the same. Don't y'all think that's right? Every time I hit this one, it always messes service up. I hit it anyway. Say, well, right there's them lottery tickets. Say, what difference does a few $3 lottery tickets make? When I look here, if I'm trying to witness to Gary Linder and he's standing behind you at the local Exxon while you're buying a lottery ticket, it makes all the difference in heaven and in hell. Amen. Amen. I'm talking about walking straight. Walking straight. You know how I know that everybody in this church knows that lottery tickets are wrong? Because ain't nobody ever got me one for Christmas. You know how I know everybody here knows that drinking's wrong? Ain't nobody ever brought me a bottle of wine for Christmas. You know why? They know right down in here, Ty, it ain't right. If it ain't right for the preacher, it ain't right for you, dear neighbor. I'm talking about walking straight. And you'll say, it don't matter how I talk.
Oh, yes, it does.
I'm going to have to duck down on that one, ain't I? Say, now, preacher, I got mad the other day and I said a few things. Well, I'm going to say this. The Apostle Paul teaches us, and so does the book of James. What comes out of this right here, this opening, is what's right down in this well. Getting a little tighter the longer I go. I'm confirming the hands of the saints. That's what we're trying to do. He'd walk by and he'd say, now look just a second. Here's, and I listen, I know everybody says, man, I'd love to hear Paul preach. No, you wouldn't. He'd stand in front of you and he'd say, I stand in doubt of you. Some folks doing things that they're doing in this day, Paul would look them eyeball to eyeball and say, there's no way you're saved. Says so, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9, 10, and 11. Go read it. He says, be not deceived. He says, wait just a minute. Y'all think y'all going to live in fornication? You're trying to tell me you're saved?
Yeah.
He said, don't be deceived.
That's right.
He said, unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then he begins to list a whole bunch. Drunkards, idolaters, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, all kinds of them. And he says, if you're a part of that crowd, you can't be a part of his crowd. But I got all kinds of people saying they were part of that crowd trying to tell me they're part of his crowd. That's exactly right. Paul come by and he'd say, let's just walk right. Don't you think that's right? You'll just be able to just walk straight. Walk straight. And if you ain't, I'm praying that the Holy Ghost of God's dealing in your heart now that you need to get straight. Need to get things right. Let's look here. Everybody's messed up. But recognizing that you're messed up and staying messed up is our problem. We're going to be what this church is supposed to be. It's getting tougher and tougher up here. I had a lot of liberty. I feel like people's got their hands around my throat now.
Reach out, brother.
Walk straight. Here's what the Bible says. Let's get down to where the Bible says it. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's what he said. That's what. Look here, your problem's not with me. But if we're going to be what God said to be, Paul went around making sure the churches were doing what was right. We probably ought to do more of that in our day. I'd say that's being a busybody. No, it's trying. Look here, God is my witness, I've never tried to preach or tell anybody something's wrong with the intent of standing over them and gloating that they're in something wrong. It's always for the intention to say, let's get out of that. You're not happy where you're at. Look at me. You ain't fooling nobody. If you're saved and you're living out there doing that, you're miserable.
Amen.
I know it and you know it. You know what y'all do? Just get right with God. Then when you come to church, you got joy in your heart.
Amen.
Hearing the preaching like this, you can amen it. It don't make you mad. You say, preach on, preacher. I ain't buying lottery tickets. Preach on, preacher. I ain't drinking liquor. Preach on, preacher. I ain't sleeping around. Preach on, preacher. I ain't cussing up a storm. Preach on, preacher. I ain't cheating on my taxes. Amen. A clean conscience can shout it out.
Amen.
But a corrupt conscience can't. Goes quiet. And the quieter you get, the more guilty you are. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Let's stand to our feet. Y'all know what I said was right. And it was in love. I don't even know how you... Look here. I told my wife this today. I told my wife this today, and I mean it. I mean it. What you look like to me is great. But I've been serving the Lord, preaching and pastoring long enough to know that people that even look like everything's great here, when they go home behind closed doors, everything ain't what's what. I'm not the judge. Just delivering the mail. Amen. I'm asking you this. Can you line up with what Paul said that the church ought to be? Come play some song, listen.